Welcome to Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk here in the new year with your host, psychologist and author, Dr. James Dobson. I'm Luann Crane here with my co-host, Ryan Dobson, and I know our program yesterday was troubling to many people as we talked about the continuing threat in this country from Islamic terrorism. And frankly, what our guest had to say was alarming to me as well. Ryan, what was your reaction?
Mine was the same as yours, Luann. I was kind of overwhelmed. I mean, it's been 10 years since the destruction of the World Trade Center, and it's a lot to take in, but it's important to continue to educate ourselves about this issue and other matters of national security, especially in an election year.
Well, it was disturbing to me, too. Our guest yesterday made it clear that the danger is still acute and that we have been infiltrated by trained killers who would bring this country to its knees if they're given an opportunity. And it's our obligation, he said, to understand the threat and the reasons terrorists hate us and want to kill us. And to do otherwise is to put our heads in the sand and fail to recognize what we're up against. So that's what we talked about last time with our guest, General Jerry Boykin. He is a three-star general, retired. He was in the Army for 36 years, and what a record he's had. He, of course, was one of the original members of the Delta Force, and I mean, they're right where the action is. He was a participant in Desert One, you know, the hostage rescue attempt in 1980. That was part of Jimmy Carter's effort to get the 52 diplomats and citizens out. In 1983, he was a commander of the invasion of Grenada. In 1989, he was a commander in Panama when we attempted and successfully captured Manuel Noriega. And then he was involved in Black Hawk Down in 1993, and I didn't see the movie. I understand, Ryan, that it was very, very moving. Is that right?
It really was. It was just shocking in a lot of ways, and to have a man like that amongst us really was awe-inspiring. He has just got a presence about him that is, he is a true born leader.
Well, we were all impressed to have him here, and he is a military hero of mine. I respect him highly. In fact, he was Deputy Undersecretary of Defense for Intelligence in the Pentagon for 4 years. So, I mean, he's been at the highest level in knowing the threats that we face as a nation. And once again, what he told us yesterday is the nature of the threat. And I'm telling you, there is more here. I think the second day, in some ways, is more alarming than what we heard last time.
He was fascinating, Dad, utterly fascinating. Let's not waste any time. Let's jump in as you ask General Boykin about the very real threat of a weapon of mass destruction being brought into the United States.
General Boykin, at the end of the program last time, you were talking about the possibility of a dirty bomb being smuggled in to the United States. A dirty bomb meaning it's not a real atomic bomb, but it is nuclear material that could be blown all over everywhere and kill many thousands of people. I asked you if that concern was real, and you said it's real. Let's pick up right there. Tell us more about what we need to know.
Dr. Dobson, we, as you know, we have porous borders, and it's not just Mexico. Our Canadian border is also a concern, as was reported here just recently about the growing concern on Canada. And recently it was reported that a book was found on, I think it was in Arizona, where people cross out of Mexico. And this book was a Islamic terrorist book talking about how to build bombs and how to execute terrorist activities. Now, that should give you an indicator of what's coming across that border. It's not all Mexicans. In fact, there is another category that is identified as OTM, other than Mexican, and about 80% of the people we catch coming across the border that are in that OTM category are Middle Easterners. They could bring anything across that border, literally, and they could bring the materials, the components to build a dirty bomb. All you need is a conventional explosion to set off a dirty bomb, which would then disperse contamination, nuclear contamination. And once that occurs, you don't know how many people are going to be contaminated by that, let alone how many will be killed in the blast. But in a populated area, dense population, that could be devastating too, just because of the contamination that would result from that explosion.
Mm-hmm. General Boykin, last time you were pointing out the difference between the Islamic culture and the Muslim religion. And as part of that Islamic culture, you described Sharia law. And I know as a mom, this is something I'm starting to hear over and over again. Can you just describe for us in a capsule, what is Sharia law? What do we need to know about it?
Sharia law is Islamic law. It comes from two primary places, the Quran and the Hadith. And it is what they are expected to live by. Sharia law is what permits honor killing. It's right there. It's part of Sharia law. It is what permits, or not just permits, but in fact requires genital mutilation of the female. It allows a husband to beat his wife. It demands beheading for anyone who leaves the Islamic faith. It allows a woman to be stoned to death for committing adultery, and in some cases, just simply being accused of adultery. It subjugates women to the authority of men and makes them second-class citizens. So there are things in there, for example, that say that it takes two women to be equal to one man in a court, in an Islamic court. A woman is only half of a man.
General Boykin, I can't even get my arms around this because as a female here in the U.S., women's rights has been a huge tenet in the past 50 years. And here we are about to embrace something that is completely opposite of all of that. That's what you're describing.
You know, it's interesting to me that two of the groups that have not said anything about this, in fact, have kind of been on the other side on this, are the women's groups and the homosexual groups. Both of those groups are discriminated against very heavily. So if there was a total Sharia law in this country, by Sharia law, homosexuals would be killed. And all the women would be wearing burqas and hijabs and would be subjugated to the authority of men. But these two groups have not come out and said anything. Right.
General Boykin, there are people listening saying, come on, this is not going to happen in the United States. That's crazy. We do have women's rights and we have our own constitution. And yet now in Europe, I know especially in France and the UK, there are enclaves. I remember thinking about it around New Year's Eve because there was, I think, 1,500 cars burned in riots. And there are places where Islamic extremists have moved into and taken over little enclaves where they have Sharia law enacted and that the French government can't even go into those areas any longer. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, this is absolutely true. It is happening in France and Britain primarily, but you see these enclaves in other European countries as well where they are practicing Sharia law. They've been allowed to do so. And the police, I wouldn't say they can't go in there. They've just decided not to go in there, certainly because of the danger to the police that go in. And they've essentially allowed them to isolate themselves and practice Sharia law in these enclaves. And it's actually starting to wake people up in Europe. People in Europe are actually starting to say, how can we let this happen? And they're starting to actually revolt against it. But at this point, I'm not sure that there's anything Europe can do to reverse this trend.
I've heard that the education level of the children growing up in places like that is so substandard because they're not going to school or learning the curricula the rest of the country is. What's going to happen to those kids as they get older and older?
Well, they are the kinds of people that you will see that will be very much in the jihadist camp. They will be the people that will be more prone to committing suicide by, you know, blowing up crowded marketplace or, you know, that kind of thing. You see, a madrasa school does not teach, you know, the reading, writing, and arithmetic.
And this is where those children are going to school.
That's right. These children are going to madrasa schools. And what they are learning in these madrasas is the Quran. Now, if you look at what the Quran says, and this is important for the listeners to understand today. If you talk to a Muslim that wants to convince you that they are peaceful, he will read to you peaceful passages. Mm-hmm. There's no compulsion in religion. Your religion for you, my religion for me. Mm-hmm. Those were written when Muhammad was in Mecca developing his religion. When he fled to Medina in fear for his life, that's when he wrote the second half of the Quran. And I say he wrote, he was illiterate, so he didn't write anything. He recited his vision from the angels, and they were written about 20 years after his death. But the second part of the Quran was written in Medina, and that's jihad. And jihad is not an internal struggle. Jihad is holy war against infidels. Mm. And that's what they're teaching in these madrasa schools. That's where it says to take the sword to the knife of the infidel, lay in wait and slay them wherever you find them. Take not infidels for your friends. Those are the things that were written in Medina. And under the concept of abrogation and progressive revelation, everything that was written in Mecca is superseded, abrogated, overcome by everything that was written in Medina.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. General Boykin, when you look ahead, what do you see for the people of this tired old world? I mean, if you just look at where terrorism is occurring, it's throughout Western nations. It's all over Russia. I mean, you remember the school that was overtaken and others. Are we headed for another war? Is that what lies in store for us?
Dr. Dobson, I would say to you and your listeners today, we are at war. The problem is we have not yet recognized it. That's why the administration has been so reticent to identify who the real enemy is. That's why we're still giving constitutional protection to this thing that wants to destroy our Constitution. We are at war. And I think that until Americans are willing to find out what Islam is and find out the truth about what the Muslim Brotherhood is doing in our country, we're going to continue to live in darkness.
Are there activist judges that are taking us in that direction?
Absolutely. And, you know, I have a great respect for the governor of New Jersey, but he just appointed a judge, a Muslim judge, to one of the courts up there in New Jersey who has been known to be associated with operatives from Hamas.
This is Christie?
Yes.
Governor Christie.
Yes. And this kind of thing reflects, I don't think, an effort on his part to implement Sharia law. I think it's this whole concept of trying to appease the people that, in fact, are our enemies.
You were in the military for, I think, 36 years. Appeasement never works, does it?
It never works, yet we continue to go down that road. But Dr. Dobson, I will tell you and everybody in this room today, the imam at the mosque in Ground Zero did us a favor, because Americans, to the tune of about 70%, have decided they don't want that mosque at Ground Zero, and it has made a lot of Americans wake up and start doing some independent study and start asking questions about, okay, well, I don't know why I don't like it, but I'm going to find out, because it raised awareness. And Imam Rauf, when he got up on national television and threatened America, Imam Rauf did us a favor. I think Americans are starting to wake up on this issue.
General, I've wanted to ask this question of somebody for a long time. I'm sure it has a good answer, but I've never heard it. 9/11 occurred 10 years ago, and the people who are responsible for that horrible day of bombing have still not stood trial. 10 years, it's one thing for them to have been convicted and put in prison for 10 years. They haven't even been brought to trial. And I don't understand why. Can you explain that?
No, sadly, I can't, because I think that that's I think the whole thing is a political issue. I think this is my personal view, but I think that neither the previous administration nor this administration is willing to take them to trial, because I think they fear the outrage from the Islamic world, because there is so much support around the world for what those people did.
Well, that's appeasement again.
It's appeasement.
We're intimidated.
It's appeasement. We are intimidated.
You know, there used to be a Fram oil filter commercial that said, pay me now or pay me later. You're going to have to deal with this at some place along the line. Mm-hmm. And if you're constantly falling backwards and refusing to even call terrorism by its name, we're going to have to pay the piper down the road.
General Boykin, you were saying before we started recording that there are European people from Parliament coming to the United States saying, don't do what we've done. A lot of the countries have socialized programs, and each generation depends upon the next generation to support it, and yet their birth rate is so low that the only way they can get a next generation is through immigration. And by and large, that's happening in different Muslim countries, and now they are getting ready to pay the price. Is that a warning sound? Is that a red flag to America?
Well, I think it is, and yes, that's 1.31 birth rate on the continent of Europe among the natives, and a 5.6 birth rate among the immigrants that come in, all of which are out of North Africa and the Middle East, portends that Europe will be an Islamic continent by the middle of the century. And I think that America, by the way, has dropped to a 2.0 birth rate. This is just within the last 6 months. We've dropped to a 2.0 birth rate. And those that are immigrating into America are also the Muslims have a very high birth rate here. I don't know exactly what it is, but it's about the same as Europe, I think. And I do think that portends some real problems for America in the future. But the greater problem is not the birth rates in America. The more immediate problem is the lack of willingness on the part of the leadership in this country to get beyond political correctness and identify the enemy and call this what it is. Mm. It is cultural jihad and terrorism. That's what it is.
Mm. General, let's go back to what Lou Anne said about herself, being a woman and a mother. Mm. What do you say to the women out there that are listening to us today? Security is very important to women. I think in some ways more than it is to men, because they think of the next generation and their commitment to their children. What you've said today and last time has been, I think, terrifying to many in our listening audience, and frustrating, because they don't know what to do about it. I would think that you're going to tell people to get informed and to understand what's taking place. But what else can women like Lou Anne do? Does that affect you like that?
Well, that's what I'm thinking. You have articulated very well for the past 2 days this whole issue. I'm not sure I ever could grasp it to the depth that you have. So I'm sitting here feeling like, well, I'm not in a position of power. I'm not a leader of a great nation. Truly, what can I do? How can I respond to all of these threats out there?
Lou Anne, there's plenty of information about this, and there are plenty of resources that are available to get better informed, to understand it. And you really do need to understand it, and you need to internalize it. The second thing is, and let me say, I have 6 grandchildren, and 3 of them are females. And I must tell you, I am greatly concerned about the day coming when they will be wearing burqas. Hmm. That's how serious I consider this threat.
Are you serious?
That's not
just
extreme.
I'm very serious. I am very serious. But what you can do is get involved. You can get involved. And I've been working with some other people in ministry and in different parts of our country to start encouraging people to get involved with the school board. If nothing else, get involved with the PTA. There was a school in Massachusetts here recently that took grammar school children to a mosque for cultural awareness and separated the little girls away from the boys and took the boys in and had them pray with the men, teaching them how to pray the Muslim prayer. That kind of thing should not happen to our children, and we've got to get involved with the PTA and the school board and the city council, and we've got to get involved in groups that are starting to understand this and can make a difference. You don't have to be the president of the United States, but you can get involved at your level in your community. Once you understand what's going on here, get involved in some way, and then let me say, ultimately, pray for America.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This is not going to go away.
It is not going to go away.
And certainly, General, our understanding of what's happening, as the sons of Issachar did, they understood the times and knew what to do. That should influence and inform the way we vote, should it not?
It absolutely should, Dr. Dobson. I believe that getting involved in the political process and exercising our most fundamental right as living in a constitutional republic, which is to vote, is absolutely critical. We must vote, and you cannot vote for someone who you know in your heart and mind does not share your values just because they're of one party or the other. You must vote for people that have the values that will sustain this nation.
You have written a novel called Danger Close, and it describes some of what we're talking about in story form. And is based on true characters, people who have lived or are living. Would this book help to explain more and in an emotional way, and by that I mean touching the heart, what's going on today and what we need to do about it?
Yes, Dr. Dobson, that book describes how the Muslim Brotherhood is recruiting in our prisons and how they're operating right in the shadow of our nation's capital, and how they are trying to bring weapons of mass destruction into America. It is a very real scenario, and the people in the book are actually real characters that names were changed to protect the innocent, so to speak.
It's published by Fidelis Books, and I hope, Luann, that you'll help people and get a copy who
we'll
would like to have it or link to it. General Boykin, thank you so much for being with us. I knew you had a message for us, and we invited you to come at some expense to you physically. You had to fly here to Colorado Springs to be with us. I can't tell you how much I appreciate it. I told you at the top of the program that you're a hero to Shirley and me, not just because you're military career and your understanding of world events, but because you're a follower of Jesus Christ, no matter what it costs. You have put it on the line. We have watched you do that. And like we said last time, you paid a price for that. And I appreciate you for a bunch of reasons, not the least of which is that you're my friend.
Well, Dr. Dobson, it's an honor to be with all of you today. And you've done more for America than you will ever know, and I'm just glad to see you staying in the fight, sir. And to all of you here today, thank you, and God bless you.
Let us know how we can continue to inform our listeners and to make whatever contribution we can, because we're on the same team.
We are indeed. God bless you.
Thanks again.
Well, I do have to admit my head is spinning a little bit as we conclude this two-day discussion with our guest, General Jerry Boykin, here on Family Talk.
Mine is too, Luann. It is amazing to be able to sit and hear the thoughts of a gentleman of this stature.
Well, he certainly has provided so much helpful information about the whole idea of Sharia law and really, Ryan, what we as Americans can do to become more informed and to get involved in our communities.
Well, I know that General Boykin has said in the past that this is not just a physical battle, but it is a spiritual one as well, and we need to be in prayer.
Good point.
For discernment and wisdom as we look to the future, and we can't stick our heads in the sand and just pretend this issue isn't here because it definitely is a serious threat.
to the listeners who are as concerned about this as we are, we have a link to further information about Sharia law at familytalk.org. And while there, I'd also highly recommend that you request our 2011 Family Talk broadcast CD collection, because this two-day series with General Boykin is a part of that set.
And you can find more information about General Boykin's book. Again, the title is Danger Close. If you'd prefer to call us for either of these resources, our phone number is 877-732-6825. And if you'd consider a donation to the ministry while you're on the phone, we would greatly appreciate it.
Thank you so much for listening today. Be sure to be back here tomorrow when we will spend some time in the studio with Grammy and Dove Award-winning music artist Rebecca St. James. That's right here on Family Talk with Dr. James Dobson, and Happy New Year.